The Hidden, written by Bill Pronzini and read by Nick Sullivan.
Crime is a fact of the human species, a fact of that species alone, but it is above all the secret aspect, impenetrable and hidden. Crime hides, and by far the most terrifying things are those which elude us. Georges Bataille. But how do we recognize ourselves? How can man know himself? He is a dark and hidden thing. Friedrich Nietzsche. Prologue. Midsummer to late fall. Midsummer. He made his way slowly down the steep, winding cliffside path. From there, the curved stretch of beach below looked deserted. Clean white sand studded with scattered chunks and piles of driftwood and dark wormy ribbons of kelp. But there were sheltered places under the long rocky overhang toward the bottom that you couldn't see until you were all the way down. Clouds shifted away from the moon, and the sand and the slow-breaking waves lit up with a kind of iridescent white glow. A long yellow-white streak appeared on the ocean's surface, extending out over some of the offshore rocks where the gulls nested, giving their limed surfaces a patch-painted look. He paused to take in the view. Nice night. Warmish, not much wind. The tide just beginning to come in. He liked nights like this, quiet, peaceful, empty, as if he had the sea and the scalloped shoreline all to himself. It took him another 5 minutes to get to where the path dropped sharply onto the beach. He stood there for a few seconds, scanning the inland curve in both directions, and as much as he could see of the bare sand reaching back under the overhang. No sign of anybody. But that was where whoever owned the battered Dodge Charger up on the parking area had to be. There were no other hidden places. He heard them before he saw them, sudden whoops of laughter, like rips in the night stillness. Two people, one male, one female, young, judging from the laughter and the raised voices that followed it. The sounds came from the other side of a high, squared-off pile of driftwood that somebody had built into a skeletal fort, bleached pieces jutting here and there like fragments of splintered bone. He slogged in that direction. When he came around on the inshore side of the fort, he saw them, far back under the overhang, sprawled side by side on a blanket. They didn't see him until he stepped out of the shadows into the powdery moonlight. The girl let out a little cry and raised an arm to point. The boy lifted himself to one knee. He kept moving toward them, slow, out of the light and into more shadow from the overhang. The boy snapped something out of the blanket, a flashlight. The beam stabbed out, found him, and steadied on him. He shielded his eyes with his hand, but still he couldn't see much of either kid behind the glare.
"Hey, man, who the hell are you?"
Wary, but not afraid.
"Lower the light, okay? My eyes are sensitive to glare."
Nothing for a time. Then the shaft dipped some so that it pinned him from the chest down. His night vision came back, and he could see them more clearly. Young, all right, late teens or early 20s. The girl was blonde and chubby, the boy dark and lean with a stubbly growth of whiskers on his chin. On one end of the blanket was a rolled-up sleeping bag. On the other, a bottle of wine and two plastic cups. A second bottle, empty, and fast-food bags, napkins, trays, wrappers, half-eaten burgers, and ketchup-smeared French fries lay strewn over the sand behind them. Slob's party. And wine and food weren't all they were partying with. The light wind carried the faint, acrid scent of pot.